You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Just how do artists, musicians respond to the social and political events that happen around them? MSU professor and chair of music composition Ricardo Lorenz is a prime example of a composer connecting his music with the world around him. He's from Venezuela. He's lived in the U.S. since 1982, but maintains very close ties with Latin America. On March 21st, the MSU Wind Symphony will premiere his concerto titled Pararuco, written for Venezuela maracas. Ricardo Lorenz, welcome to Stateside. So good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Cynthia. Thank you.
So a concerto for maracas, I think most of us would not associate that instrument with a symphony.
There's other percussion instruments associated with orchestras, but not maracas. Maracas and the style of maracas I use for this concerto are particularly, they stem from Venezuela and Colombia. And you can't find them anywhere else in Latin America and the world for that matter.
And tell us what the maracas mean to Venezuela.
The maracas in Venezuela are like, I guess, hamburgers in the U.S. I mean, they're a staple of what our culture is about. It's a very, very simple instrument, perhaps an instrument that we play as babies. I mean, everybody can shake a pair of maracas, but they are developed to a level of sophistication that you can only find, as I said, in Venezuela and in Colombia. In those two countries, the maracas are like the drum set for jazz, in that they're not just accompanying music in the background, but they're actually a lot of times in the foreground, always ornamenting the music and responding to the music. And sometimes they're even as important as the melody that another instrument is playing.
What gave you the inspiration to incorporate the maracas into an orchestral piece? Because I know you wrote it initially, this piece, for maracas and orchestra.
Yes, and that's a really interesting story that takes us to what's called transculturation, and that's sort of the journey that cultures take. And what happened was that when I lived in Chicago, I came across a percussionist who had lived in Venezuela. He's actually born in New Jersey, but he lived in Venezuela in the early 80s, and he played in one of the many symphony orchestras there. While playing timpani for the Philharmonic Orchestra in Venezuela, he became acquainted with the maraca technique and became an avid performer. When he returned to the U.S., he became a spokesperson for the maracas. And he was the one who brought the idea to me of writing a concerto for maracas and orchestra. And to tell you the truth, I laughed. You know, and that's the interesting thing. You know, we don't tend to appreciate what our cultures can do and the significance of it until somebody from outside the culture invites us to appreciate it. So that's the way this concerto came about. It was a guy from New Jersey who presented this project to me.
Tell us about the choice of that word, pararuco. What does that mean?
So pararuco is, it's a nickname given to people that are cocky to the point of appearing ill-mannered, a little bit out of taste. And actually, I found name in a book story by a famous Venezuelan author. His name is Romulo Gallegos, and he was actually the first president in the series of democratic governments we had in Venezuela since late 50s all the way to the late 90s. So he was both a politician and an author, and he has a book called Pataruco, and it's a book that Tells the story of a young child that has the typical conflict between who one is and who one wants to pretend to be, and this whole conflict between foreign influence and local influence. And that's where I took the name Pataruco. Eventually, later, I found out that it's a word that fell out of use and then more recently came back, believe it or not, used to as a nickname to the late Hugo Chavez.
Oh, and in effect, didn't you write this the same year that Chavez was elected president of Venezuela?
Yes,
1999.
Which is, yeah, it's almost like, wow, who would have predicted that? But I wrote it in 1998, and it was premiered in 1999. Yeah, and he was elected in 1998.
How do you feel with the idea of this being performed now when we see the turmoil and the things that are happening right now in Venezuela?
Well, first, it made me think of how long these cycles are. I mean, it's taken Venezuela 20 years to get to a moment where it's unsustainable. The government is unsustainable, but it's taken 20 years for us to get to that point. The peace, the Pataruco, is 20 years old as well. So it gives me a sense of the timing of these political processes. And it also makes me think that even though the turmoil, the social and political turmoil in the country, there's still young individuals trying to do art, trying to have a meaningful life. And an example of that is the artist that we're bringing to perform the maraca solo part, Manuel Rangel, who's a young percussionist. And he lives in Venezuela, and he's still making music, and he's still traveling and trying to spread the word about Venezuelan culture.
You reached out to us to tell us about a piece you had composed in 2008 called El Muro, Spanish for the wall. And you wrote to us not long after the end of our government shutdown, which, of course, was triggered by President Trump's demand for funding for his wall at our southern border. And you say El Muro is your response to how you feel about walls. Tell us more about that.
Yes. I was actually telling my colleague here, Kevin, that maybe I would have never composed a piece this year called El Muro, the wall. Looking back in 2008 when I composed the piece, yes, I responded to this issue, which is ongoing. It's certainly not a contemporary topic by any means. But there was some distance back then. It was not as heated as it is today, this whole issue of border security and constructing a wall as a response. Back then, it wasn't the news, of course, but I had enough distance from it. And it was enough in the background that I thought it would make a good topic for a piece of music. And my idea was to find the positive spin behind the idea of building walls. And I have experiences with walls because I grew up in Caracas, and Caracas, as I like to think of it, is a makeshift fortress. Every single house in Caracas is surrounded by a big concrete wall or a brick wall and barbed wire. And I've always thought that it's simply a symbol of fear more than anything else. So I thought, is it possible to create the illusion of building a wall, but in sound as opposed to with bricks?
And you really want to make a point in this piece about the power of music to make walls tumble down.
Yeah, my idea was, well, can I create the illusion of first building a wall in sound where each brick of a wall would be actually a snippet of music, and then build it to the point that there's so much tension that the wall inevitably has to come down. And at the end of the piece, I play a trick that gives us that impression, and it's always effective. And I think the piece is performed so much pretty much because of the ending. It surprises everyone.
Many of your works out there were written for full symphonies, strings, and the whole shebang, but they're being reworked now for wind symphony. What does that offer you? What kind of opportunity does that offer you?
So, yes, there's a big difference between the symphony orchestra and the wind symphony. And that is that the symphony orchestra has a big body of string instruments and the wind symphony doesn't. The wind symphony has become the instrument of choice now by many composers in the United States, simply because they don't have the repertoire that the symphony orchestra has, a repertoire that goes back at least 300 years. So the wind symphony orchestra has had to build a repertoire, and that's where we composers come in. And that's where the collaboration between wind symphony conductors and composers have been a driving force of contemporary music in the United States right now. Case in point is the version of Pataruco that audiences are going to hear on March 21st. A piece is originally written for symphony orchestra in Maracas, and Travis Higa, who is a young wind symphony conductor, did a transcription of Pataruco for wind symphony. So it's the same piece, no strings, but then instead of strings, Higa uses saxophones and percussion and euphoniums and instruments that you don't normally hear in a symphony orchestra.
I think of those young musicians, Michigan State University, University of Michigan wind symphony, playing your compositions. What do you think the seeds that you can plant for these young minds, learning about the intersection of art and the events that happen in the world around them?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think at one level, the first thing that I see them reacting to is the way I think about music in a very technical way. As I said, this sonic wall that I build is made out of little snippets of music, and those snippets of music are influenced by all the music I grew up with. It has, you know, it has the DNA of the tango, of the danzón, of the Mexican son, of the cumbia. And I first see them becoming acquainted with these very particular rhythms and timbres. And that's the first level of communication I see happening there. And then the second level of communication is that when they realize, oh, I see why we're doing all this, and when they get the full picture and they get to realize, oh, there's a concept supporting all these technicalities in the music. And that process is really interesting to witness and see a young musician, you know, taking it from not having any idea what this piece is about or what it sounds like to getting a full picture of art in general, not only music.
Well, we should note there is a CD coming out soon from the Michigan State University Wind Symphony, which will feature Ricardo's compositions. There's King Mangleberry. There is going to be El Muro and Pataruco. So people can kind of give me driving and listening to the music. That's the beauty of something like a CD. It goes anywhere. But the upcoming performance is going to be on March 21st. The MSU Wind Symphony will premiere this concerto, Pataruco, written for Venezuelan maracas. And we've been speaking with Ricardo Lorenz, who's the professor and chair of music composition at MSU. What a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Likewise, Cynthia. It's been a pleasure.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.